Introducing Home Care Plus, a new subscription service from Lowe's that helps make life easier by giving members a hand with home maintenance. Let Lowe's tackle the tasks you keep meaning to do, like electric dryer vent cleaning, replacing hard-to-reach light bulbs, and more. Subscribe to Home Care Plus for just $99 a year and consider your to-do list done. Members get more at Lowe's. Available in select zip codes only. Cancel anytime. Non-refundable fee. Product purchase required. Terms and service restrictions apply. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Welcome into the best in paranormal podcasting. This is Darkness Radio. I'm your host, Tim Dennis. Today we have a great show, folks. Today I'm blessed. I'm blessed to have in one of the members of the Expedition Bigfoot team. One of the shows that I really look forward to week to being able to watch, mainly from a curiosity standpoint. I'll tell you, Bigfoot is one of those subjects that, as someone who in my youth, I was around in the woods all the time, and I got to admit, I've never seen one. I've been curious to want to see one. We claim we have them here in Minnesota, but I've never trudged across one, and there's supposedly one right in my backyard. And every week, I see these guys come so close, and I see the FLIR cameras, I see the infrared cameras, and boy, I tell you, to actually have one of the members here on the program here this week is quite exciting for me. So I want to jump right into it. We've got Bryce Johnson this week on the program, and I want to dig in this week and talk about the new season. The new season of Expedition Bigfoot is going on now, right now on Discovery. And it looks exciting, folks. It looks like we've really got some concrete stuff going on Expedition Bigfoot this season, and I'm excited to talk to Bryce Johnson today. Actor, producer, podcaster Bryce Johnson is always looking for his next adventure, whether acting in film and television, voicing characters, podcasting, or hunting the world's most elusive creature. Bryce is forging new paths in the entertainment industry, most known for his roles in Willow Creek, Death Valley, and Pretty Little Liars, as well as voicing the title role in Marvel's full-length animated film, Doctor Strange. Bryce is also the co-creator of the hit podcast, Bigfoot Collectors Club, which is a weekly podcast in which amazing guests discuss their personal paranormal histories, followed by a story of high strangeness. Bryce's most ambitious project to date has him starring and producing in Discovery Channel's hit new show, Expedition Bigfoot, in which he put together a team of scientists, researchers, and experts in the quest for definitive proof of Bigfoot. His most recent credits include Christopher Nolan's Best Picture Oppenheimer, as well as starring in Damien Leone's highly anticipated Terrifier 3 franchise, which is set to hit theaters on October 11th. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome in for the very first time to Darkness Radio, Bryce Johnson. Hi, Bryce. How you doing?
Hey, I'm great, Tim. Thank you so much for having me. I'm a fan. Hello, Darkness Radio fans and listeners. I'm excited to be here.
Well, we're excited to have you. I want to start off briefly with a little bit of the cliffhanger of Alaska and bring it into this season, because let me tell you, Alaska starts or ends with a bit of a, you know, you've got branches, you've got these things that are looking at you guys, these things that are on thermal camera that are following you around, and you and Ronnie are on a quest to follow these things around the woods, and you guys are on to something, and then all of a sudden the team's up and out of there, and yet you're left behind there, Bryce, and you're tracking sounds. And it seems like an incomplete mission in Alaska. Did it feel unfulfilled to you?
Well, you know, I got to admit, I would say all of our missions are incomplete in a sense until we bring home the goods, you know, Bigfoot in a body bag. Here's the thing, you know, we only have a window of opportunity on these expeditions, and they usually last in a range between a month to 2 months. And so, you know, in the end, yes, we feel like we're getting so close, but, you know, we can only do what time permits. And yeah, you do leave there feeling, oh my God, we're getting, excuse me, so close, you know. I remember in California when we were, you know, right in the middle of our expedition, and we were getting close there too. And we were pushed out by forest fires, you know. So we always feel like we're, you know, we've got more work to do, which is why, you know, we came right back to Northern California on that Lost Coast, because, you know, we always sort of consider our areas of operation as places that we can go back to once we've established a target zone. We really consider that an area of operation that we can go revisit.
Okay.
Which is what we did here in season 5. And I'm so excited. So because we really pick up where we left off and we just hit the ground running.
We're going to get to that in just a second here, because you say something interesting in the season premiere, which kind of, it startled me a little bit. I'll get to it here in a second. I want to bring it back to Alaska for just a second here, because it's interesting. One of the things I found interesting before you grabbed Ronnie in Alaska and went to meet him, there's an interesting point in Alaska where there was something near him about 200 yards away. And you said to him, don't go confront it on your own. And you went and rushed to him. And you wanted to, and I know it was for safety's sake, but then I'm thinking to myself this, and this is what occurs to me, Bryce. You went to his side and for safety's sake, the two of you went in. But I'm thinking to myself, if this thing is 9 feet tall and that big, and it was hunting, because I think at one point, Maria and the whole entire group had figured out that these things were hunting at one point. If this thing is hunting and you guys had found basically blood splatter and you'd found bones at this kill site, if I remember right? What were the two of you going to do? I mean, I was just, you know, I'm thinking if one was not going to stop it, what were two going to do?
Well, you'd need one as a distraction to run slower so that one can escape.
That's what it was. Right.
Listen, you know, I often get asked, you know, Bryce, you're very brave. You're very courageous going out, you guys and your team, you know. And I say, you know, well, they are, Maria especially. She's the bravest of them all. And Russell, of course, and Ronnie as well. But, you know, I haven't spent as a child too much time like camping or in the woods. So this is all, you know, I love the outdoors. But, you know, so when there's a camera on you and you're on a quest, you know, you get like an injection of courage, you know. So it's like, I just want to push forward when that camera's rolling to get the shot, to, you know, to take the audience into that area. And so yeah, you know, it is, I, you know, you do feel absolute scared at sometimes, but I'll tell you what, when you're making that show and you've got those guys right behind you shooting, they're like, go Bryce, go, or you know, you go.
Because there's that point where you guys pick up the bone that's bitten into and the bone is shattered and you figured out that, you know, that this creature has been sucking out the marrow from the bone, and you figure out that it's probably some sort of prehistoric creature.
You know, and I'll say this too, you know, it's, you know, I don't read a lot of reports or hear a lot of reports about people getting injured from Bigfoots, stuff like that. So rare is the case. And so, you know, you have that in the back of your mind too, that, you know, now, listen, that being said, there are a lot of sort of nefarious missing persons cases that happen in national parks. And, you know, I unfortunately, Bigfoot is a suspect in some of those. So,
right.
So, yeah, you never know what sort of elements you're confronting. But we want to get to the bottom of this mystery. And to do that, in order to do that, you have to be in the place, in the places where these creatures are.
Well, let's address that for a quick second, because you do have like the missing 911, or is it missing 911, missing 411? I'm having
sure. David Politis's research work in his missing 911 series. Yeah.
Does that research enter into the back of your mind when you're out there in the field? I mean, does that, does that kind of occur to you that maybe?
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely. Cause I'm familiar and I'm a fan of his work. And you know, for those who aren't familiar with David Pilates, he was a detective, but he started his work, researching Bigfoot and going through and talking to witnesses and native witnesses about the lore and everything. And then he went on to start doing some other work into more, looking into these missing person cases. But yeah, that, you know, it is in the back of my mind. You know, we don't know what these creatures are capable of. We don't know that much about them because we haven't really observed them in their natural habitat. So there's a lot of question marks. And yeah, but I think that's why people are so, you know, excited to see this. We just want to know more about these creatures that people have been reporting for thousands of years. You know, we're not the first here. These creatures have been here a long time.
Yeah. So, I'll make this transition here in just a bit to the new season. But let's talk a little bit about some of that transition, and that is that Ronnie's no longer with the team or no longer on the show. Can we talk a little bit about it and just briefly, and then we'll move forward.
Ronnie's absolutely. No longer. You know, we had a sort of a big interim between seasons with the, you know, with the merger and everything. And Ronnie moved on to some other projects, unfortunately, and he'll be missed. And, it gave me an opportunity to get in the field more. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as I've always said, the Bigfoot show must go on. So yeah, he will be missed. But, you know, it gave me an opportunity to work alongside Maria in this season. And while I love doing stuff back at the command center, there really is nothing like, you know, being in, right in the thick of it with Russell and Maria. So that was really an exciting part for me this year.
There's something different about the way the show feels this year. It feels a little bit more, it's kind of like the difference between last year and this year is like a kind of like a fully produced band to a stripped down feel. You know what I mean? Like a stripped down, dirty, raw garage type.
I love that.
You know what I mean?
But yeah, well, you know, that's almost paradoxical because actually this is our first season with Discovery Channel being our true home now. You know, we came from the Travel Channel. We started there 5 years ago. But Discovery Channel was like, hey, you know, we want a Bigfoot show and you're it, you know. Mm-hmm. So I forgot what was your question, but
just that this kind of feels like a back to basic roots type feel.
It really is. You know, we really did want, and we have some, you know, we have a new guy sort of, he's been with us from the start, but he's sort of taking a lead on this. His name is Ronnie, and you'll see him in the credits, but he's really stepped up and basically, you know, we just wanted to go back to this target zone in Northern California because, you know, to your point of Alaska, we feel like, you know, with the research that we've done, we're starting to establish what we feel might be this migratory route, mm-hmm. You know, from Northern California all the way up into Alaska. And I mean, this is where all the lion's share of reports come from, is right as in that Washington, Northern California, that Olympic Peninsula section, the Lost Coast, you know, there's about 400 to 500 reports a year coming out of that area. And those are just the reported ones. Imagine all the sightings that go by unreported. So people are seeing these creatures in the thousands. And when I say people, I'm talking about woodsmen, people who work in the lumber industry, hunters, law enforcement, men and women. So, you know, these are people of all types of caliber. And, you know, and they're great witnesses because when I speak with them, you know, you can tell they've got a lot to, there's nothing really to gain by speaking to me. You know, they're not getting money and they're not getting, you know, fame. And as a matter of fact, a lot of the times their peers, you know, they're often, you know, a little shy or hesitant because nobody really wants to come out and say, hey, I had a Bigfoot encounter. What does that mean? You know, I didn't believe in this creature before, but I was hunting and I saw this thing you know, it changed my life. What do I make of this? You know,
right.
I hear this over and over. So there's a phenomenon at play. There's a mystery in our backyards. And it's time to sort of, you know, turn the page on this Bigfoot mystery because, you know, we're getting so close to, you know, what this thing could be.
It's an interesting phenomenon that, you know, when people have interactions with things like ghosts or UFO, it's easy to discount or dismiss. When you have an issue with something like Bigfoot, well, people could go, well, you know, it could have been this animal or this animal. It's harder to discount because you could say, well, it could be this or that or the other. You could push it off on some other animal rather than,
yeah.
You know, it's easier to say, well, you saw something, but are you sure you saw that?
You know, one of the things that I love, some of my most favorite reports of Bigfoot sightings come from hunters. And here's a common theme and a pattern that you'll see. There'll be a hunter and he'll see a creature through the end of his scope and it's a Bigfoot. And he'll see the face. Now, you're talking to a hunter who's shot bear, shot elk, shot moose. And, I I'm going to look at that hunter and say, no, you're probably just seeing a bear. And he's saying, no, I'm looking at the end of my scope and I see the face of this half man, half ape thing. And I can't pull the trigger because I'm afraid that if I do, that'll be murder because I'm not sure what this thing is. But I know it's not a bear. You know, and I know I'm confronting a liminal space right now. This is an extraordinary moment. What's happening?
Wow. And seeing, you know, there's guys like me who, you know, I was raised in Minnesota. It's a rite of passage to be a deer hunter, right? So you, from the time you're young, you take gun training, you go out in the woods and you're out there and you sit up there and you recognize every movement that's in the forest. And you almost kind of wish that you'd run into something like that. Now, I've heard of different creatures that are supposed to be out there in northern Minnesota. There's even one that's supposedly up in the Blaine area. Creature that's out in the Blaine area. That's supposed to be running across one of the golf courses. But I've never seen one. Now, should people out there be wishing to run into one of these creatures, or is it one of those things that you know, be careful what you wish for?
You know, it's a great point. And when you're talking about like small town monsters, now you're really getting into the stuff that I love because, you know, every town, every city has local lore, and you know what? There's more monsters abound. But let's get back to Bigfoot because you bring up a really interesting point, right? Like, hey, I'm in Minnesota. Should I be looking for Bigfoot? You know, and you're probably thinking no, but I would say yes, because you know why? That there are Bigfoot reportings in every state in the United States except for Hawaii. Now, you know, at first glance, you're probably, this is strange. This doesn't make sense, right? How are there going to be Bigfoot reportings in places like Iowa or Kansas or, you know, like where are these big pine trees to hide? And, you know, and I say to you, you know, this is part of the problem of the phenomenon, isn't it? Like, this is what I call the stranger aspects of Bigfootery. How are these creatures seen not just in every state of the United States, but on every continent of the globe, in every country? Every indigenous culture has a mythology of a wild man of the woods, mm-hmm. a large, hairy, upright, walking creature, a monster. You know, so this isn't just our mythology that we started to hear about in the 50s. You know, this has been happening for thousands of years all over the globe. Now, that's why I start to go, okay, maybe there's something more to this creature than just an undiscovered wood ape of North America. Something more mysterious is going on here, because how are these people seeing these creatures all over the place, you know? And then that's when I start to explore other theories of what this creature could be, you know? Because I don't think that there can be that many different subspecies of Bigfoot all across the United States. You know, it strains the limit case for credulity.
Okay.
So I think something more mysterious is at play.
So you don't think there's that many subspecies in the United States, but you hear about different subspecies across the world. So you may have Yeti across the world.
Yeah.
So where does the DNA split, I guess, is I not that I'm splitting hairs here to kind of throw in.
No,
the pun,
yeah, but, no, absolutely. But well, you know, go ahead. I'll let you finish.
But I guess it's kind of a hinky question here, Bryce, but so where does the DNA split or where does the species split or how does it break down?
We don't know. We just don't know, Tim. You know, and that's why there's different camps. You have people who think this is just a flesh and blood creature. Mm-hmm. You know, you have people who think that this could be a relict hominid. You know, science professors like Dr. Jeffrey Meldrum, who's explored that theory throughout his career, that maybe this is just a lost relict hominid, something akin more to us, whereas, you know, maybe not just a primate, you know. And then you have the more sort of paranormal theory that, you know, these things are seen sometimes dematerializing. They're often associated with balls or orbs of light, you know. Maybe something more strange is happening. You know, here's a parallel. Do you know what else is reported all across the globe in every state going back thousands of years? Strange balls of lights, UFOs, anomalous activity. So, you know, there's a parallel. There's a pattern. Maybe that's something worth looking at. I don't want to leave any clue off of the table. You know what I mean? Because here, if we're going to get to the bottom of this mystery, Tim, then we have to take in all the evidence. And that includes evidence that we don't like or that we find strange or peculiar. Look, I love the work of the guys at like the BFRO, Bigfoot Field Research Organization. They did a great job at establishing a database for Bigfoot reports. But you know what they didn't do? They didn't take in any reports that included strange activity like balls of light or strange lights in the sky or disappearing or cloaking or camouflaging Bigfoots. All those reports got put in the trash. I take those reports out of the trash because I love those reports. It's finding those strange details in a Bigfoot encounter that I'm going to go, hey, wait a minute. Wait, you said what happened here? The thing sort of just camouflaged out like the predator in that movie. That's strange because I spoke with a witness who said that happened in Florida. You know, so when you start to be able to put together those patterns, you can uncover the bigger mystery that's at play here. Because Tim, there is a bigger mystery at play than just a flesh and blood creature, I believe.
We had Ronnie on the show a couple of years ago. He subscribed to the same theory when he was talking about his book. He said the exact same thing. You see a lot of tied phenomena from UFO to Bigfoot, and he truly does believe in the area he grew up in that there's a lot of tied phenomena to, again, balls of light and Bigfoot and UFO and Bigfoot, and that there's a lot more to this story than just what apers would believe, and that's that it's just a flesh and blood creature. And I
if it was, we would have found it by now, right? And it would be on a lab table, right?
That's right.
Not to say that there's still species that haven't been discovered. We're still discovering giant, huge species here on the planet. There was a large whale discovered off the coast of Mexico 2 years ago, a new species of whale. Mm-hmm. So we are discovering new species of animal all the time.
Yeah.
And look, I haven't left that theory off the table. I'm exploring all three theories. I'm just taking in whatever evidence and data comes my way.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And I think you do have to be a little open-minded with it because it's, again, if you're not, then you start, you know, throwing different theories out and then are you truly, you know, being scientific about it? You're not, you know, you're closing yourself off to different possibilities.
Exactly right.
And you can't. That's for sure. Tell you what, we'll take our break a little bit early here. When we come back, I want to address a few things in the season premiere that kind of interested me. I'm stammering here, but there's a couple of things that you had encountered in the field that I want to talk to you about that were very interesting. This new season gets off to a hot start. It really does. And you had talked about that trail that goes all the way from Alaska through NorCal. And it's a hotbed of Bigfoot activity. I want to focus a little bit about that and why it's such a hotbed of activity. We'll delve a little bit further into that. We'll talk a little bit about Bigfoot in general and why it has this grip on America right now and why it's so hot, what such a hot topic. You know, there are news outlets right now that are trying to break this story. And I want to talk to Bryce a little bit about why is it breaking mainstream media? We'll talk about that when we come back as well. Bryce Johnson is our guest. Expedition Bigfoot is available right now on Discovery, also available on Max. You can check the past seasons available on Max, but it is airing Wednesdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central on Discovery. When we come back, more with Bryce Johnson from Expedition Bigfoot right here on the best in paranormal podcasting. This is Darkness Radio.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spend on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spend on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome back to the best in paranormal podcasting. This is Darkness Radio. I'm your host, Tim Dennis. Our guest is Bryce Johnson, one of the team of Expedition Bigfoot. You can see it Wednesdays, 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central on Discovery. Also, you can check out the archives on Max. If you don't have Max, I don't know what you're doing with your life. I don't know. You're probably playing tiddlywink somewhere in a corner in your grandma's basement. That's all I know. That's about the best I could say. So before the break, Bryce, we were talking a little bit about the phenomenon of Bigfoot and, I guess, classifying Bigfoot and whatnot. With the new season, you're going all the way from, you're saying that there's this hotbed from Alaska all the way down to NorCal that you're exploring this season. There were some interesting things in the season premiere. One of the things that you had cited, you and Maria are out in the field. One of the things you find is this really impressive footprint.
Mm.
And you had mentioned that it was the first time you had found a footprint out in the field.
Mm-hmm.
And you cast this footprint. And I mean, you found like an amazing amount of evidence right there. You'd found some scat that had a hair in it. You'd found quite a bit of evidence, like right there in that area. If you could talk a little bit about how you're feeling as you're gathering this evidence in the field. I mean, it had to be pretty exciting. Tell me a little bit about how you're excited. Feeling. Yeah. Tell me a little bit about what's going through your head as you're gathering this stuff.
Totally. My what's going through my head is contain your excitement. Because you said it, you know. So I'm literally out there, and I've never found a big footprint before, and I'm just sort of moseying around. We're in the area, and I see what looks like just this deep impression, you know. And you don't see this on camera, so I'm gonna reveal a little bit of how this happened. You know, so I actually took a picture of this thing first, and I was like, that's interesting, you know. And I was like, let me show this to Maria, you know. And she was like, yeah, that's interesting. Maybe we should go look at that. Show me where you found that. So, okay. I was like, okay. Maybe this is something, you know? And then, so, we're like, okay, well, let's roll on this. I'll take you back where we found it, you know? And so we go and now we're looking at this thing, and we start to just see how deep this impression is in the ground, because it's almost like 3 inches in the ground. And it's almost, it's too good to be true almost, because it's just so deep and it looks like a foot. Now, here's what's interesting. I go, now, as I'm pointing this to Maria, you don't see this in the show because, you know, we have to cut. We're talking about this thing for quite a while, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm going, I see it this way, and I see a toe. And she goes, you know what, Bryce? It's backwards. You're seeing the heel is the toe. Look, the toe's this way. And I go, oh my God. And I was like, oh, and it just sort of popped out at me. I go, oh, I saw it the other way, you know? So now it's really starting to reveal itself, you know? And I'll be darned, when she starts to pour that plaster of Paris, this thing took on the shape of a foot. Like, you have no, but like, I could not believe it. And now I'm just sort of like, I can still feel the energy. Like, I'm just like, and I'm going, unbelievable. How? And it's like, when you confront the phenomenon like that, it's almost unbelievable, because you're like, whoa, here's one of these footprints that people find all the time. Now, here's what was interesting. It was the only one. There was no other ones around it, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm going, and so that's problematic, right? Because if it's moving through the area, there should be another step somewhere, you know? We saw something of some indentations, but nothing like that. It was a standalone footprint.
Whoa.
You know, and so, which is strange, you know? And yes, we did find some scat nearby with a hair. I think the hair proved to be inconclusive, so.
Okay.
But the quest was on. We were like, oh my God, this is an area of activity, and it proved to be right. But yeah, that exciting, man. It was just exciting, you know? John Keel, a famous Fortean investigator. He wrote the Mothman Prophecies. He's like the godfather of the paranormal, right?
Yeah.
He had this idea that when you confront the phenomenon, and he let's call the phenomenon at large, right? Mothman, UFOs, Bigfoot, just strange stuff in general, right? Mm-hmm. He had this idea that when you confront the phenomenon has a way of confronting you. So it almost starts, when you start looking into this stuff, it starts to look back at you, you know? And I honestly feel like, you know, when we entered back into that target zone, we were like, they knew we were coming back, and they're like, oh, you're here again. Let's play, you know? Yeah. It had that feeling, which is just so strange.
So I got to ask you this. So as Maria's going to cover this up, are you this excited that you're thinking, you know, I kind of want to stay here to make sure nothing messes with this? Are you getting protective over it? Do you have that feeling?
Well, yeah, sort of, yeah, but you have to move on, because, I mean, the time is just crushing us constantly. We have so many experiments we run and investigations we want to do. So, and like I said, since it's just one footprint, you got to go and you got to move on,
yeah.
You know? And funny enough, you know, the famed Patterson-Gimlin film footage, Bob Gimlin, a lot of people don't remember this, but when him and Roger saw that creature crossing the sandbar back in 67, and then they chased off it on their horses, well, after it got away, they came back and they started to do what me and Maria did. They're like, look how deep this thing is. We got to cast this. And then they're like, okay, well, the weather's coming in. Let's just, you know, put some branches over this stuff and we'll come back and get it. So they did the same thing. They had to like go back to their base camp, get the plaster of Paris, and then come back before the rain came in and get it. So yeah, you're constantly, you know, under the gun, which is where this technology comes in. You know, like having stuff like a portable scanner, 3D scanner, is just incredible. Which is what we've always wanted to do, was get the latest cutting edge technology right into our hands, right in the middle of an investigation, which is what we do better than anybody.
Speaking of, last season, you got the best piece of cutting edge technology you could get. That was a fixed wing drone.
Oh my gosh.
Does that make an appearance this season?
Do you know the operator on that drone? We called him Drone Jesus. That's how he's really known in the industry. That's how good he is.
Really?
And usually he's used for search and rescue and engineering operations. But now we're using some of the best experts and vendors in the field to look for Bigfoot.
That's crazy.
So, you know, and here's the thing. You know, I won't give anything away on some of the tech we used. But I'll tell you this. We always try to go bigger, mm-hmm. badder, and better. And, you know, and so we're constantly looking at new technologies to help us in the field. You know, we think of this as a military operation. We really do, you know.
Because that was amazing. I mean, that bit where, you know, the drone goes up and not only can you see your heat signatures down in the field, but just to be able to track miles away that there's something moving towards a glacier.
You can make out a face with that thing. I mean, it's incredible. The technology is incredible. So,
yeah.
And you know, which I just love bringing to bear on this hunt, because you need it. You know, these creatures have, even with the best tech, they're outsmarting us almost at every turn, which is incredible. So this is a highly sophisticated game of cat and mouse, and you need the best tools to play it.
So with that, I mean, there's been some low tech stuff that you guys have done too. I mean, I'll bring up from last season. I'll bring up one of the things that Ronnie used, and that was the bear bells. I mean, bear bells, things like that. That sometimes the low tech stuff tends to be some of the things that you can kind of mess with these creatures' minds, or they kind of like to mess with yours. It's kind of like a cat toy. Of sorts.
You took the words right out of my mouth. I was just going to say, have you ever heard the phrase, it was curiosity that killed the cat?
Right.
You know, I'm under the belief that these creatures are so curious. They're highly intelligent, right? And they're so curious about what we're doing in their zone. First of all, we're in their territory, right? Mm-hmm. And they, you know, we're in their neck of the woods. And they're curious. And when you can do so, yeah, low tech, high tech, it all works great because they're curious as to what the heck you're doing. So I'm always under the belief that as soon as we enter an area of operation and we believe that Bigfoot are there, we're already under observance. In other words, as soon as we step in, you know, they can smell us, they can see us, they know we're coming, you know? So yeah. And stuff like gifting and bells that gets their attention, you know, mm-hmm. And they're curious. But when you're flying like a fleet of drones over their head and they're going, they're getting curious about that too. Or you're spraying primate pheromone in their habituating site. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're going to get curious about that too. So there's all kinds of stuff to try. You know, my mind is always just floating with ideas. Let's try this. What if we did this? You know, and it's like, it's just so fun and exciting, especially when you get a reaction from these creatures.
Is there a favorite, I don't want to call it a trick, but is there a favorite lure? We'll call it that. Is there a favorite lure of yours that you like to try, that to try and get them to come out and play?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's just you. I think you are the lure. So if you're in the field, then you become the bait, really. And you know, we believe these creatures mostly operate at night. They're completely nocturnal, you know? So, yeah, when you're walking around in the woods, and we use IR lights, infrared lights, because, you know, they can't, we believe they can't see that normal animal life. They can't see the infrared spectrum as we're moving through. So,
okay.
So I believe, like, you know, my favorite tactic is just like, go out there and look for them, because that seems to work every time when you're out there and you're like, I don't know. You just got to be there. You know, mm-hmm. All the stuff is great, the tech, but at the end of the day, just, I guess you being out there is what makes them the most curious, and they want to play. you know?
Mm-hmm. Now, Bryce, I do have to go back to the malevolent Bigfoot stories, because we do hear them, especially, I mean, you do hear the occasional malevolent Bigfoot story, and I know you've heard them. Do you believe in them? Do you believe the accounts and the tales of malevolent Bigfoot stories? And have you ever run into a malevolent Bigfoot?
Well, yeah, I have heard of them because I'm fascinated by those accounts. But, you know, and I don't want to use the word, do I believe them? Because belief is such a taboo word. It comes with so many, you know, it comes with so much luggage, right? But what I will do is what I will look at any evidence and that comes my way, and especially contextual evidence like somebody's eyewitness testimony. You know, here's the thing. I feel that experience is primacy. So yeah, in some of these cases that have been reported on, where I'm thinking of like that one case that came down out of the Smokies, the I covered it on my podcast about the Key family, that man, it just breaks my heart. But you know, when you go into those reports and you start to flush out some of the details, it's hard not to think, okay, man, somebody saw an upright walking hairy creature carrying something, and your heart just kind of sinks, and you know, and it's all speculative and you don't know, but you know, there's a lot of question marks about missing people, you know. So yeah, you do understand and recognize that there's an element of danger going into liminal spaces and working with the unknown, because you never know what to expect, you know. Mm-hmm. So there is that level of it, but like I said, man, you know, I'm just too excited by it. I want to get in there. I want to get answers. I want to engage with it. I want to engage with the phenomenon. And so, you know, fear be damned.
Is there, let me ask you this. Now, you've got Maria on the team, who's a primatologist. Do you find that you clash with her at all when it comes to, if you're talking about the connection between balls of light, UFOs, and you want to go to the supernatural side of things, does she want to try and ground you and say, wait a minute, there's definitely primate behavior here, and this is definitely a primate?
Yeah. Well, it's a great question. And look, you know, just because I'm interested in high strangeness and the stranger aspects of Bigfootery, I will not dismiss evidence that points to this thing being, you know, flesh and blood. Look, it happens in the UFO world too, right? Ships, you know, there's reports of craft landing, leaving impressions in the soil, and then taking off, right? Right. It's sort of the same thing. So, you know, I know, because I'm very scientific at heart, you know? And so I love and adore Maria's approach, because we need that. Our show has always been based on, look, if we want to confront this thing, we have to keep one foot grounded in science at all times. From there, we can explore other ideas, but it has to be grounded in science. You know, look, and just because it's something that we don't understand doesn't make it supernatural, right? Perhaps it's just a science that we don't know yet, you know? What's that great Arthur C. Clarke quote? Any advanced technology that we don't understand, I'm killing this thing, comes off as magic. But what he's saying is, if we don't understand a technology, it'll come off as magic or supernatural. Perhaps there's a natural, organic, biological science that we just don't understand about the supernatural yet, you know? Yeah. And perhaps these creatures living in the woods and away from city life for so long and developing these sensitivities and skills there, perhaps, you know, their psi abilities are off the charts. You know, that's why you hear about mind speak, camouflaging, cloaking techniques, all this type of stuff that perhaps these creatures are able to do.
You bring up a really good point about speech. I wanted to talk about that, but I have another question before that, and that had to do with the actual climate going from Alaska all the way down to NorCal. There's a very specific climate there when you talk about, it's not too hot, not too cold. I mean, it gets cold, but not freezing cold. I mean, in the wintertime, it does get pretty cold. Then you look at across the world, you look at the Yeti is in a colder climate. Do you think these things have a specific climate that they have to exist in? Because you do look at the skunk ape. The skunk ape is in the southern U.S. Is this thing have to be climate controlled at all, do you believe?
You know, it's a great question. You know, what's really interesting is all the different varieties of Bigfoots reported across all the different spaces of the globe. And yeah, you make up a good point. You know, you have to ask yourself, could there be that many different species of Bigfoot? And we haven't been able to find any of them, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, wait a minute. No. That doesn't make sense. Like I said, that passes the limit case of credulity, right? That doesn't make sense. Something else is happening. Is it our culture that's influencing how we perceive the Bigfoot phenomenon in a local area? In other words, in Florida, is it the culture and area over there that is influencing how we perceive these creatures there? You know, and in Russia and in the Himalayas or the Orang Pendek in Asia. What about the Yowie in Australia? You know, something else is going on, you know, I think people are coming to grips with that. I think people are finally starting to go, hey, let me take a look at another theory here. Maybe this thing is something more than just a flesh and blood creature. Because if it was just that, wouldn't we have one on a lab table right now? And if it was just a flesh and blood creature, would there really be hundreds and hundreds of different species that none of us were able to get on a lab table? I say no. So what's really happening here? Well, I'm interested in finding out, aren't you?
Yeah, most definitely. Language. I want to address language before we leave each other today. And that is that you had captured some sounds at the end of last season. I've heard different languages captured by different scientists. And there seems to be some speak or some language between them. And you can hear audible speak between them.
Mm.
And it's not the typical chatter that you would hear between like apes.
Sure.
It's almost
strange.
It's almost like a foreign language. Which seems to say that there's some sort of cortex there, that there's like almost like the beginning or formation of a language there.
Mm.
So in your research, do you feel like these things actually have a language that they speak and they just hold back from speaking it in front of people?
Mm. I think that's really astute. And I think that's probably close to correct. You get a lot of reports about what's called telepathy or mind speak, not only between like observers and Bigfoot. So even Les Stroud, remember Survivor Man?
Mm-hmm.
He came out and said while he was in the field, he was getting some mind speak from a Bigfoot. You know, what the hell is that? You know, so if these creatures do have these latent psi abilities that they've mastered, something like telepathy, I would imagine that they're using that mostly to communicate to each other. Because why would you waste time using small mouth noises when you can communicate mind to mind? That being said, if you go to your zoo, your local zoo, and you start to observe primates, you'll see that they can make all kinds of noises with their mouth and their lungs, and they can do mimicking and they can make, you know, calls. And so, I think not only can these creatures use mind to mind communication, but they can make all different kinds of noises as well. Hoops, hollers, screams, birds, other animals. You name it. It feels like, you know, we get so many different reports. And, you know, think about those Sierra sounds, those famous recorded sounds that came out of the 70s. What you don't hear a lot about during those was, you know what else kind of sounds they were recording there? Car doors slamming in the middle of the woods, you know, strange stuff like that. At one point, Ron Moorhead, who, you know, he was the guy that, captured the Sierra sounds. He's like, it sounded like there was a car right in the middle of the Sierra Nevadas and somebody was opening and closing a door. Now, how do you make sense of that? right? So I don't know. Yeah, you know, these creatures do love to sound off, and man, it makes for interesting recordings, that's for sure. But when you hear it in the field, yeah, the hair on the back of your neck just immediately spikes too. You're like, oh, that sounded pretty terrifying.
What is it about wood knocks and whooping, and what is it about that form of communication that they seem to take to? Is it, if PsySpeak is available and they can communicate back and forth with telepathy, what is it about the grunting and the raw form of communication that they seem to take to? Is it the fact that they can communicate with lower forms that way? Or,
well, think about when Russell was bluff charged. Sometimes you just need an aggressive snort or growl. You know, if this, you know, look, if just because I say this thing seems to be strange doesn't mean it's not physical in nature at times, because it leaves footprints, right? It breaks branches, it moves things around. So this thing is very physical. So yeah, if this is a creature, I would imagine it has all sorts of communicative sounds to let people know, hey, you're too close, back off, I'm far away. You know, that's why we really don't use wood knocking, because I don't know if another human's just banging on a tree, you know, 200 yards away.
Yeah.
That's why when you get a howl, there's so much more data and information in that you can analyze. And even at that point, we still have no idea what the heck they're communicating with a howl, or when we play a howl back, we have no idea what we're saying. You know, it's like I said, use that zoo analogy again. It's almost like going to your zoo and trying to communicate with a gorilla. You know, you're not going to be able to. You're just playing this game. That's all it is. It's like, hey, we're interested in you. Okay, well, you know, let's see what we can do.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, Bryce, I look forward to this season. This season looks exciting, man. I mean, you started off with a hot start. You know, you're on the trail again of something huge there. You've got a lot of targets in this hot zone.
Oh my God.
And yes. I mean, you've ended up in an area where, I can't imagine that, you know, you're not going to run into something this year, that something, isn't going to run across you. I guess the question here is, what happens if you come face to face with one right in front of your eyes?
Oh my God, wouldn't that be amazing? I mean, that's the goal, I think, of all three of us, Russell, Murray, and I, to do this show, is to like confirm what we feel like we know is true, you know? And sometimes the only way to do that is to get your very own two eyes on the thing, you know? And you could see me just smiling from ear to ear, because it's hard to contain my excitement for just how exciting and explosive this season is, because man, you know, if you think that foot was something, just wait.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're looking forward to it. Again, Expedition Bigfoot airs Wednesday on Discovery, 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central. Check your listings for where it airs and when it airs in your area. It's on Max as well. The archives are on Max if you want to check out previous seasons. But Bryce Johnson, I want to thank you so much for being with us today.
Well, thank you so much, Tim, and thank you to your audience as well. You know, Bigfoot holds a special place in my heart, and I think it does for so many people as well, just because I feel like we see ourselves in Bigfoot, and we know that there's something true to this mystery, and God, this world is just such a better place with a little mystery in it, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And I think it's one of those phenomena, especially in the paranormal. It's the one phenomena we can reach out, we can touch it. It's there. Unlike ghosts, where there may be a little bit of a doubt, or UFO, where we look up in the sky and we wish. Bigfoot's one of those ones that can just jump out and it'd be right there. So
I know. And as my friend Bobcat, who directed Willow Creek, would often say, he said, you know, the great thing about Bigfoot, too, is when you go and look for him, and if you don't find him, hey, you just ended up camping. And isn't that great? You know,
yeah.
And it's so true. Yeah. Go out and get in the woods, you guys. Go explore. Go get mysterious. The phenomenon is for everybody, don't let anybody gatekeep this phenomenon. You can go look for Bigfoot wherever you are.
That's right. Bryce Johnson, thank you so much for being on Darkness Radio today.
It was my pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you. I want to thank Bryce Johnson for being on the program today. Again, Expedition Bigfoot is available Wednesdays, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, 9 p.m. Central on Discovery. Go check it out. Wonderful program. Again, they've stripped it down this season, even though technologically they're getting better and better each season. It has a kind of a grittier feel this year. I kind of like the way they're shaking it out. Three team members this year. Bryce is joining the field team this year, and things are shaking out to be bigger and better this year. I kind of like the way it feels. So I talked to Bryce off air about coming back, doing a postmortem after the season. I think we're going to do that. So looking forward to that. So good luck to Bryce and the crew, Russell and Maria, this season. I'll be watching. Going to be a good season. Folks, you know, before we hit the weekend, I encourage you, if you've got extra time, you're out in the Michigan area, Sault Ste. Marie area this weekend, to come on out to Michigan Paracon. It is the last Michigan Paracon, so take advantage while you can. I highly encourage you to get out there. There isn't much time. You know, they say good things don't last. It's true, they don't. Kind of sad that this is the last one. It's been one of those things I've looked forward to every single year, and one of those things that I've marked my birthday with and looked forward to on my birthday. Now, my birthday isn't until the 26th, the following Monday, but, you know, it's one of those things that Brad and Tim have always been very gracious and marked the occasion and remembered the occasion, and Tara, too. To be honest, I think it's more Tara than Brad and Tim. but they've been very good about remembering the different speakers' birthdays while they're there. Even went so far as one year throwing a party for the different speakers, which I thought was very nice. And they've just been gracious hosts and great hosts throughout the years. And I want to thank them one more time. Before heading off this weekend, for their hospitality and how great they've been. It's really such a one-of-a-kind conference, and I don't know that it will ever be topped. I mean, by all means, come on out, promoters, and try and top it. And invite me to your conference and see if it can be topped. I'll judge it for myself. But it was really something special. And I have to tip my hat to Brad, Tim, Tara, and Youpers for putting on such an excellent presentation over all those many years, a decade and a half or more. So, again, you guys have done such a spectacular job. It'll be hard to top, that's for sure. I talk to you about being a light in someone's darkness every weekend as I leave you. And I want to give a shout out to Brother Sean, who came to my rescue. I met him through Travis, who you've heard on the program this week. Sean owns Ravens Custom Motorsports here in the Twin Cities. If you're in the Twin Cities here and you need any type of automotive repair, I highly recommend you get a hold of him. In fact, next week I'll post a link for him. I just wanted to give him a quick shout out this week so you're aware of him. You can find them on Facebook. Ravens Custom Motorsports LLC is how you can find them. RavensCustomMotorsports.square.site is how you can find them. Folks, my car absolutely blew up. And the thermostat stuck wide open. I've had a real hard time lately. I haven't had any cash whatsoever. And trying to drive people to the store site so you guys could buy something. You know, haven't really had a lot of luck with that. But Brother Sean came along and helped a brother out. And Brother Travis came along, helped out. Appreciate it. Those guys were lifesavers. And not only did Sean just help out, but Sean did such an exceptional job at the repair. I mean, not just replacing the thermostat, because replacing the thermostat is one thing, but took exceptional care of the van. Flushed everything, flushed the system, pointed out where there was stop leak, gunking up the works, and flushed the entire system, burped it, flushed it, did everything. Even came out to my home and did it. I mean, not that he'll do this for you. He did this for me as a favor because the vehicle was inoperable. But happened to come out and do this for me. And he went above and beyond for me and made my day. And Sean, I got to thank you so much. The man is busier than all get out. He's got business beyond business. But I'm telling you, if you need someone who will go above and beyond, treat you like he'd treat his own family. And that's what you're looking for when you're looking for service. Someone who will treat you like family. Sean's your man over at Ravens Custom Motorsports here in the Twin City, LLC. One more time, ravenscustommotorsports.square.site. I had no idea, but there's still people out there that still treat you and your stuff like it's theirs. And Sean, I love you, brother. I love you. I didn't know there were people still out there like that. So thank you. I appreciate you. So with that, folks, we go into the weekend. Again, be a light in someone's darkness. Reach out, help someone this weekend when they least expect it. I was pleasantly surprised and shocked. And I have this smile on my face today. And I'm thankful to Travis, to Sean, to Georgie, who came out. I raise my hands to the sky and I thank the universe. I thank God. I thank everybody who helped. And, you know, I'm grateful. I'm grateful. And I'm grateful to you guys. I'm grateful to you guys that you've listened today. I'm grateful to you guys that you continue to put your hard-earned effort and your time to listen to this program and to enjoy what we do here, because we put in a lot of work on this program. Continue to rate and review. If you like the program, give us 5 stars. Be friendly. And continue to support our sponsors as well, because that's all we ask. All right. We're coming back with brand new shows next week, birthday week. So we're coming at you with some great stuff, and we're going to continue to be grateful. So there you go. That'll do it for Travis Thorpe, for Jessica, for Mally, for Beer City Bruiser. I'm Tim Dennis. Thank you so much for listening to the best in true crime and paranormal podcasting. This is Darkness Radio.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Moto Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made, because that's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino. Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces. I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Moto Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made, because that's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino. Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
It's tax season, and by now, we're all a bit tired of numbers. But here's an important one you need to hear. $16 billion. That's how much money in refunds the IRS flagged for possible identity fraud. But it's not all grim news. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second and alerts you to threats you could easily miss on your own. If your identity is stolen, they'll fix it. Guaranteed. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Here's the truth. You could literally be adored by everyone and then come home and still get completely ignored by your own cat. It's classic cat behavior. But new Shiba Premium Puree is a lickable treat that changes all that. They're protein-rich, made with bone broth, and have the smooth, creamy texture cats go crazy for, especially when it's hand-fed. Yeah, it's more than a treat. It's a fast pass to favorite human status. So feed your cat Sheba and go from totally ignored to truly adored in just 12 days, guaranteed, or your money back. Learn more at Sheba.com.